Small Biz Central.
The Brain.
Gary Harbst is a very successful entrepreneur and CEO who spent about 20 years as the head of Salomon Software before it was sold to Great Plains and then ultimately to Microsoft. Harbst and his team developed the Six Discipline Strategy Execution Program, which was revealed in his critically acclaimed business publication, Six Disciplines for Excellence. That same ability, that is to balance the tasks of planning and executing while simultaneously managing the unpredictable nature of the real world, is a principal difficulty for business managers, but it's essential for the next U.S. president. Joining us on the line from Findlay, Ohio, to discuss the incoming Obama administration and how what they do may impact your small business is author, veteran CEO, and author of Six Disciplines, Gary Harbst. Gary, welcome back to the Small Biz Brain.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
We're sitting here together in mid-November 2008, and many experts are saying we have not seen the worst of the recession. Some are suggesting we may be subject to a downturn not unlike that of the Great Depression of the 30s. From your vantage point, how will Obama's actions impact the small business environment in America?
Well, the first and most significant act is taking office. And what I mean by that is we've been through one of the toughest, longest, most brutal campaigns we've had in years, and just having it over will focus more on the positive and the actions we can actually take. And the significance of that, I mean, it's very significant, the attitudes of people. I was speaking with a business leader yesterday who I said, how is business for you? And he said, well, it's much, much better than the headlines. And, you know, interestingly, the headlines can create part of the problem where through campaigning, et cetera, all the negatives are emphasized and causes people to get more conservative, and then that reduces the business and really creates a problem. So him just being elected is part of the advantage.
Okay, so once we're past the election and sort of satisfying that question for business owners, consumers, et cetera, how will the president's actions affect small business at large, or what are the moving elements or the principal moving elements you're seeing?
Well, I think that some of the things that he talked about in his campaign may not happen as quickly as he thought, because so much of the focus will be more on the sort of like this G20 meeting that is taking place right now. What are the things we have to do to bail out to stem the tide of cash flow problems that are coming from large financial institutions? And, you know, people have debated, does that really flow down to Wall Street? And it does, and I can give you a perfect example.
Okay, great.
A businessman in Findlay, Ohio, has been around 30 years, very well respected, good credit, and his line of credit was denied for the first time ever.
Wow.
And the reason had nothing to do with him. It had to do with the local bank had been purchased by a large national bank, and that bank had made bad loans in Florida, hampered their balance sheet, resulted in policies that flowed back clear to Findlay, Ohio, and they didn't have the capital to loan him. So I think President Obama will have to focus, order his decisions very carefully to the things that will create the most leverage. I know Congress is looking at some sort of incentive program or something that reaches the consumer, you know, tax breaks, something into people's pockets. That's something that can create short-term impact.
Do you have a personal perspective on Wall Street remedies? You touched on this a moment ago, but the Main Street versus the Wall Street types of solutions.
Well, human nature causes all of us to want short-term solutions, and the very election process, you know, we have these natural cycles of the economy, which should have ups and downs, some recessions periodically that cleans out the things that should be cleaned out. That's healthy. And when you have election cycles every 2 years for the House and every 4 years for the president, there's a tendency to tell the American people things that don't lead to good long-term results, to say, well, we can keep you from being in this recession. And that leads to things like in, you know, 2001, 2002, we start to go into a recession. And what do? We stimulate to the point of interest rates being effectively at 1% or lower. And it sounds good. It got us out of that recession for the next 3 or 4 years, but it created a bubble that created a bigger problem now.
Yeah.
The point of all this is that there's a temptation to rush in and bail out Wall Street or some of these financial institutions to stem the tide, but is it really the best long-term thing, or would it be better to let some of this stuff flush its way through the system, and then we would have a healthier economy 3 years from now?
Yeah, really looking at the time piece as much as the big versus, or the Wall Street versus Main Street axis, I guess.
Yeah.
I know you've been writing about what you call the information age expansion and how that might impact economic development, something you're thinking about now. What is your vision around this idea?
Well, in America, research has shown over and over that most economic growth is driven by 3% of businesses. It's that fascinating speed limit that we've always been limited to. And we are now an information age economy, and the question is, how do we break that speed limit? What are the root causes for why only a handful of businesses drive most of the growth, and the time frame is 4 years? They enter this high impact phase and outgrow their ability to execute.
Yeah.
And you may think, well, that's no big deal. Well, our economy is the sum of the performance of all the individual businesses. And most economic development programs in most communities are organized around trying to start new businesses, which is a good thing, and trying to bring new businesses into their community. That's also a good thing. But most economic development programs don't have a clue what to do with the businesses they have right in their community and how to get those guys to grow more effectively longer. That's what our book is about. The Execution Revolution makes the case that we're poised for the first time in the information age to attack some of the root problems of why businesses outgrow their ability to execute.
All right, thanks for that. Again, the book is Execution Revolution. We're visiting with Gary Harbst. Gary, is there a website for the book or information about the work you're doing?
Sure. It's sixdisciplines.com is our website. The book's available really everywhere, Amazon and all the bookstores.
Six disciplines spelled out, I'm guessing, S-I-X, et cetera.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Terrific. Execution Revolution, the book. Do you have a view on how America can reestablish economic leadership when it comes to economic development? Where do you see the opportunities there?
Well, it's directly related to what I just mentioned. If in fact, this speed limit that's been in place, this 3%, could be moved to 4%, America is the first country in the world that should be able to pull that off. And the reason is we were the first country in the world to move into the information age. And so we're farther along in understanding what an information-based economy is, what its barriers are, and the advent of the Internet and quality programs, strategy formulation, coaching models, all those things have been proven in the U.S., and we can now change that speed limit. I think America is poised. We work through this problem. I think we're poised for accelerating our economic leadership in the world, not falling back, but increasing it.
Do you think the chances for increasing the economic leadership worldwide lie in the energy and in those sectors, the energy issues?
No, I don't. I think I sound like a broken record, but I keep coming back to this study. This 3% limit, it applies to every county in the U.S. It has nothing to do with industry. It has nothing to do with geography. It has to do with the fundamental way organizations function. And solving that problem transcends every other industry segment. So, industry growth in one area or another comes and goes over time, but building more effective information-based organizations transcends every single sector. And personally, that's what I think our biggest opportunity is in America.
Okay, so it's really about that fact, transcending the sectors and not about a particular substantive opportunity in a particular sector. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, go back to Henry Ford in the early 1900s. He had a new idea, which was mass production. He took things that had been invented in the industrial age over the previous 100 years, rubber, steel, combustion engines, all that stuff. He puts it together and ships 8 million cars in 10 years. And nobody had any idea this was coming. Until he did that, we thought the speed limit was the speed of a horse. And we're at the same stage. We've had 50 years of innovation in the information age. We've been plodding along at a certain 3% speed limit because we're not very good at managing people. In an information age, service-based economy, people are our primary assets, and our speed limit is set by our ability to manage people. And we're about to assemble the equivalent of the CAR in the information age. We call it a strategy execution program. It's a way for organizations to learn how to set good goals and learn how to execute them, and we're not very good at that.
Yeah. Thanks, Gary. Thanks for your time this morning on the Small Biz Brain. Gary Harpst has been our guest. The book, Execution Revolution, the website, www.sixdisciplines.com. Gary, it's always fascinating to visit with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
This podcast is produced by Small Biz America.
Small Biz.
Small Biz Central.